Good morning. Wow, that's powerful. How are y'all doing? Good, good. Glad to hear it, Ray. Well, if you open up your Bibles with me this morning, we are going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. And I believe that we are on our last 2 weeks of the book of Ephesians. We have been working through this book verse by verse, and it has been such a great time, such a great reminder, reminding us who we were and what Christ has done in our lives. But before we jump into this text, let us start off in a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank you for today. We thank you that you are the mighty one who has saved us, Lord, who has called us to be your own as your church, your bride. And I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here today who does not know you, that they may come to know you as their Lord and Savior, as we have come to know you. And Lord, I want to pray for this morning that you would equip us with your armor, that we might just put it on today, that we might be people who walk valiantly for you, Lord, that we might really walk by faith and not by sight in the world in which we live, Lord, for our battle is not against flesh and blood. And I pray that you just please help us to really gaze into your word, to glean what you seek to tell us, and that we might go out from this place changed and more conformed to the image of Christ. So we thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week was kind of a devastating week when we think about world scenarios and what has gone on. We are already praying for Israel and what's going on in that country with a nation at war. And they haven't been at war for 50 years. It has been a long time since they have been at a full-scale thing. And it's pretty amazing when you think about a week ago, many of these people were celebrating a holiday. They were in their homes. They were having lunch. They were doing life as usual. And amongst their life as usual, missiles came pouring in over the sky. Raiders came in, crashing into their towns, crashing into their homes, taking advantage of them. And there is a mass catastrophe that has ensued from this whole entire thing, and that has happened from this. A nation at war is something that rattles us, something that wakes us up, but it's something that many Christians actually daily encounter, is that we're a kingdom at war. Do you know that? Do you realize that today? That as a believer, that there are forces that are coming against you today. Do you realize that amongst this broken and lost world, amongst the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience, you are at war? And we might see only just these wars by whether in Ukraine or in Israel and Gaza as just wars that are just of flesh and blood, but they're not. Behind every war is a deeper war within the human soul. And it's a war of worship to God, for we were made for him. And there are spiritual forces that are at work that seek to go against what God has made and what God has founded, that seek to go against honoring him and glorifying him. And that is what the story of Scripture is about. It is about bringing us back into a relationship with God. And throughout this book, we see warfare, and here especially in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, we're gonna see more about the spiritual warfare that takes place around us each day and how we are to stand firm amongst us and how we are to combat back against us. So if you look in verse 10, we're going to read verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the might of his strength. Put on the full armor of God, so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. in addition to all having taken up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and also receive the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times with all prayer and petition in the Spirit, and to this end, being on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, as well as on my behalf, that the words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known the boldness of the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, so that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Today we're going to see four ways in which you need to stand firm in order to stand against the evil one. And in these ways, we're going to see that first, we need to, and we're going to be able to, stand firm by going to the Lord for His strength. Two, by correctly identifying who our enemy is. Three, by putting on the armor of God. And four, by being engaged in prayer. So if you look with me, starting in verse 10, he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and the might of His strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." Paul is coming in to his final remarks inside this letter that we have had. We're in chapter 6, verse 10. And there is only 24 verses in this last chapter. We are coming to the end of this book. And in the end of this book, after he's got done talking about God's marvelous plan that he's had since the beginning of the foundations of the world, before the foundations of the world, that his marvelous plan in rescuing us out of the domain of darkness, and bringing in Jew and Gentile now into one body, and bringing us from death to life, and giving us this newness of life in which we are called to walk in Christ. And as he has given us commands for husbands and wives, servants and slaves and masters, as he has given it among all of these different people's groups and how they need to walk, now he comes to this point where he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." Normally, when you end on a note, it's maybe your most important thing. When you're bringing everything together, and he wants them to remember this, that the struggle that they've been experiencing, the struggle that's ongoing in their hearts and against their flesh and against the world around them, is one in which they need to go to God for his strength. How we are strong is when we rest in Christ. We are to be strong in the Lord. The Lord here is referring to Jesus Christ, and it has since back to chapter 1, verse 2. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be strong in him and in the strength and in the might of his strength. It is only in Christ that you have security. It is only in Christ that you can have salvation from the evil one, have saving. There's other and power and influences that we might be tempted to run to, other strategies that we might think that, oh, if I go there, I will be secure. If I have this wealth, I will be secure. If I'm aligned with this party, I'll be fine. If I'm with this military, then we'll be great. But no, it is only in Christ, only in that refuge by which we are secure through the storm. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the might of his strength. Paul desires for the church to continue to run well. He wants God's people's worship and conduct to be stuck upon him. Now, how are we strong in the Lord, though? How do we take strength in him? How do we put our strength in him? How do we put our hope in him? How do we rest secure upon him but by belief in him, by trusting in his words, by placing our faith and hope in him alone as our security, as our foundation? And he goes on to say there, if you look in verse 11, "Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." We are to stand firm and to be strong in the Lord, and we are to put on his armor. Now, many of us don't know that we're equipped with this. Many of us aren't aware. Maybe if we're younger, we haven't really thought about how we have armor that we can put on each and every day for protection from the evil one. And we are called to put this on. Yes, many of these things that we're going to read about, truth, salvation, righteousness, has been granted to us in Christ Jesus. But these are things that we also must clothe ourselves in faith and in prayer each day, that we might be protected from the evil one and from his schemes. And we're going to talk about that more in verse 13. Paul emphasizes that we are not to neglect any part of the armor. And he says, put on the full armor of God. As a soldier who goes out into battle, he's not going to forget his most important things, right? And if he does, he's set up for a fatal attack. Something that can go wrong. Even in the normal day when troops were in Afghanistan, they were to be mostly fully equipped a lot of times when they're out walking around. There was a story of a U.S. military operation that happened in Somalia. The movie Black Hawk Down encounters this, and there was these Delta and Ranger forces that went out to secure some information. And they thought it was only going to be a one-hour operation. They went out for 1 hour. Some of them wore plastic helmets. Some of them didn't, I think, worry about carrying so much water. They just carried a little bit of water with them. They're out in the desert in the Middle East. And what happens is a couple Blackhawks got shot out of the sky during their operation. And that thing, which was only supposed to take 1 hour, ended up lasting many, many, many more hours. And many soldiers, because of their lack of equipment and not being fully prepared for the operation and for things to go south, ended up dying because they were not prepared for the long ensuing operation. We and those who are in Christ need to realize that we are sojourners in this world. We are aliens. We are not in our home yet, and we need to put on the full armor of God because we don't know what's going to be coming for us. We need to put on the full armor of God, as it says, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Which brings us to our next point. We are to stand firm by knowing who our enemy is. For thousands of years in warfare, there's been the understanding that you need to know your enemy. In the Art of War, Sun Tzu says, if you know the enemy and know yourself, you need to not fear the results of 100 battles. Okay, well, up to this point, we have known who ourself is, that before Christ, we were dead in our transgressions and sins. We were separated from him, but by God's grace, we have been saved. And we see now that we are to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Why? Because we have nothing to offer, so we know ourselves. But who is our enemy? Who is this one who we're coming against? Well, we see here in the end of verse 11 that we might be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And it goes on in verse 12 to say this, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. The needing purpose to dress in armor is because you're going to be attacked. Because the schemes of the devil are going to come against you. We're not battling simply against flesh and blood. We're not battling against just these physical powers. But did you know that there's spiritual forces at work around you every single day that are scheming against, namely the devil, who is Satan? And as John talked about, the Satan, this evil one, seeks to devour you. He wants to absolutely destroy you. We read schemes like it's something kind of cute, I think, these days. Like, oh, the schemes of the devil. You know, like, oh, he's just, you know, hoping just to joke around and mess with us. No, when you get a better picture of him and when you actually study what he is about, he is seeking to absolutely annihilate you if he can. He wants to take your faith in God and turn it upside down. He wants no worship to go to him. He wants to combat against God's kingdom, against his people. He does not want light to prevail. He wants darkness to prevail. He does not want truth to ensue. He wants darkness to continue to cloud the minds of unbelievers, that he might continue to run his operation. Remember in Ephesians 2:2, where it says, he is the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once formerly conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh. He once had us pinned. He once had us underneath his control. He once manipulated us as unbelievers. He once took us away from God. He was destroying us daily, leading us down past lies. And now as a believer, you're a threat to that. Now that you've been saved out of the domain of darkness, you are now going against that kingdom. And he wants to seek to destroy you. He is looking for someone to devour, as we know in 1 Peter 5:8. He is ruling in this world over the sons of disobedience. And among these sons, he is scheming against you, believer. He is seeking to deceive you. As John preached about in Ephesians 5, in Ephesians 5, it says, verse 6, it says this, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." He is seeking to trap you. He is seeking to give you lies. He wants you to believe in false assurances. He wants to give you things that he thinks, that you think, will bring about life, but only brings about death. His primary goal is to pull you away from the truth of Christ and belief in him. He is the father of lies, and he wants to lie to you so that you may not stand firmly in Christ. Because guess what? If you are not standing firmly, if you are not being a called out one of Christ, then you are not waging war against his kingdom. When we are engaged in the truth of God's word, when we're about doing his work, you are engaging against his kingdom. And many believers ask, why is it so hard? When I start to try to draw closer to Christ, things get harder for me. Well, now you're a threat. What do you think the evil one's going to do? If you're just sitting over there twiddling your thumbs or walking in his ways, then you're no threat to him. But the moment that you start going against him, he's going to start going against you. Know that. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world forces of this darkness. Now, know this, that amongst all these things, we do not have to fear, for the one who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. But we're going to see that there are different rulers in this world. But Jesus is the King of Kings. If you look there in verse 12, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities." We have seen since Ephesians 1, verse 21, that there are rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Paul says and describes the greatness of God's power being worked in Christ Jesus when he raised him and seated him at his right hand. He said, "Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion." So praise the Lord, Christ is over all these things. But we do see there's rulers and authorities even in the spiritual places. We see in Ephesians 3:10 when Paul is speaking about the mystery of Christ being revealed, he says, "So that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places." There's a spiritual realm around us, and there are rulers and authorities. In Daniel 10, we see the prince of Persia waging war, and angelic beings going. There's some kind of conflict that was going on there in Daniel 10. We also see that when Jesus talking about Satan talks, he talks about his kingdom, Satan having a kingdom. So there is very much power structures that you do not see there at present that are scheming against you. Do you believe that? Because this is what the word of God proclaims. I'm not giving you some fairy tale notion of things. I'm not giving you some Greek mythology about things that are going on. But I'm giving you the truth of God's word right now. We need to be, as Paul said, we need to know our enemy. We need to not be ignorant of his schemes so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes, as 2 Corinthians 2:11 says. Know that today he's seeking to discourage you, believers. Do not be ignorant of that. Know that today he wants you to not worship God. Don't be ignorant of that. Know that today he wants to lie to you. Don't be ignorant of his schemes. Know what he is. Know who your enemy is. And know who the one who gives you the solution to defeat him. Thirdly, we are to stand firm by putting on the armor of God. So here's the good thing. Yes, our foe is in this world, and our foe is waging war against us. But we are not left without victory in Christ, and we are not left without the power to stand firm against him. If you look there in verse 13, we're going to just work through this verse by verse. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. We are to take up the full armor of God. We have the proper equipment to engage in war, and we are to take up this fully so that you may be able to resist in the evil day and having done everything to stand firm. You must put these things on. He doesn't say, oh, here's another way to stand firm. He doesn't say, oh, well, putting on the full armor of God is an option in order to stand firm. No, he says, therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day and having done everything to stand firm. This is not an option. This is something you must do. Believer, if you know that war is coming to your doorstep today, this is something that you must equip yourself with today. This is something you must put on today, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. You may not know when this attack is coming. For many, this attack comes at different times. Jesus, he was in a wilderness. He was hungry. It came in his time of hunger. Job, it came for him when everything seemed to be at the best that it could be. And his whole entire world came crashing in as he lost his family, his belongings, as his body was tortured with infections. It happened to Peter. Satan was wanting to come and sift him like wheat. In his greatest time of trial, when his Savior was going to the cross. It happened to Adam and Eve when they were wandering throughout the garden, in peace and prosperity, and everything seemed blissful and just perfect, and it was, before he deceived Eve. Know that he can come at any time, and you need to put on this armor so that you might be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, he goes on to say, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So here we see first that we are to be girded our loins with truth. Your loins is like your waist area. And back in the day, in the Roman soldiers, they carried a belt, and sometimes they had two different belts. One carried a dagger and one carried their sword. But these belts were to equip them across and to carry their sword with them. And here we are to gird our loins with truth. Truth is a weapon of warfare. It is something that is a piece of armor that we are to strap on in defense. We see that it is by the truth by which we are sanctified and conformed to the image of Christ. And Christ's word is truth. God's word is truth, as we see in John 17. In that it is this truth that we are to fix our minds on. That it is a way in which we are to combat against different things. We see this in Philippians chapter 4. We are to gird our loins with truth. And we are to put on a breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate is which covered the organs of the person, so that if a sword or a blow did go through, it hit that and hopefully preserved the soldier, so that way they wouldn't be damaged into a place of where, well, they would perish or die. It's the same thing we might think about body armor these days. And Christ has made us to have a right standing before God. He has fulfilled all righteousness, and is in Christ's righteousness that we hide. Righteousness, for those of you who are younger, an easy way of thinking about it is just right standing with God. It's Christ is our righteousness. He has achieved right standing with us before God. We have been declared righteous because he was the righteous one. He was the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. And in his righteousness, we stand because he took our sin and bore our wrath on that cross, that we might be saved from our sin and saved from the wrath of God. And today, if you have not believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, I call out to you today to repent of your sins and to believe in him, that you might be saved from this wrath and you might be hidden in Christ's righteousness. And believer, today, put on his righteousness. Remind yourselves of who you are. You've been justified by him. Your worth is not found in what you own, but it's found in him. Know that you do not have to achieve right standing before God because you are already found in Christ. Don't let the evil one lie to you, thinking that you have to achieve a right standing before God, for that is already found in Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast. Next, we see that we are, in having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What does it mean to shod our feet? Having shod our feet. Well, it's to equip our feet. It's to strap on our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Also, Roman soldiers, they actually had some kind of advanced footwear back in the past. I remember one of my professors, he said that they had cleats on the bottom of their footwear to where off in the distance when the Roman legions were coming, you could hear, you know, like you hear in football games when they're running across the track and you can hear those cleats hitting the ground. You could hear thousands of Roman soldiers coming down the way, and it, they had footwear. They were well equipped. There wasn't no stickers. There wasn't no rocks. There wasn't anything that was going to hinder them from getting to you. And they were going to come for your town. They were the best equipped military, and they stood firm amongst the opposition because they shod their feet with the proper equipment. And here we see that we are to equip ourselves with the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace, the gospel simply means good news. It's the story of Scripture, the story of Christ and his coming and of his redemption. And we are to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel. That is, the gospels prepare our feet for war. It is to be that in which helps mobilize us for the fighting against of the evil one. The gospel mobilizes us to get out and to do the work, to engage in warfare, to get going. It prepares us to run to the lost and to declare the truth of God's word. It is the message. It is the gospel. He goes on to say in verse 16, in addition to all, having taken up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So in addition to all these things, so let's just roll through the list that we've done so far. So we have the gospel preparing our feet with the preparation of the gospel. We have shod our feet with that. We have the breastplate of righteousness. We have, if you want to call it, the belt of truth, what we girded our loins with truth. And in addition to all, having taken up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. In addition to all these items that we are to wear and all these items that we saw with Roman soldiers, what they wore, we are to take up the shield of faith. The shield of faith, can be seen, if you think about literal warfare and what the Romans would have, a literal shield, in which projectiles, especially in other incoming blows, they would be able to block and hide behind. And there is something very significant about this shield. The shield that the believer holds up. The believer's faith. It is able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. It is able to impede all those things from damaging you. It is able to stop those things. See, the evil one's going to lie and scheme against you. If Eve would have just simply rested in her faith in God and did not doubt in him, that would have not happened to her. If you see Ananias and Sapphira, if they would have been content and held up in Christ, they would not have lied in those times. See, the evil one is seeking to cause your faith to stumble. And you need to hold up the shield of faith in those times. There's been times in my life in which things are just going crazy. And I'm mentally trying to figure out what's going on. And I'm going through a hard time. And I have to wonder, have I put up the shield of faith? And the times in which I have struggled the most, and the times in which I have worked so hard in trying to wonder where God is, I realize I have not put up that shield. And those arrows have penetrated and they have gotten to me. If you are not putting up the shield of faith today, if you are struggling today, do it. It is able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Christ has already defeated Satan. He is already overcome. When we hide in his fortress, he does not have rule and reign over us, for Christ is over us. He goes on to say, also receive, look at verse 17, also receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Helmets were designed to kind of glance off or to stop penetrating blows to the most valuable part of your body, your head. Without that, no one could operate. A soldier cannot. And we are to hide ourselves underneath Christ's salvation, the salvation that he has purchased on the cross, the salvation that we can hide in times of trouble. We are to put that on. We are to remind ourselves who bought us and who's coming back and who's going to take us home. We need to remind ourselves of where our lives are hidden. They are hidden in Christ, and that salvation is secure. And we need to remember that we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, to defend ourselves and to fight back with. When you guys think of the word of God, do you think of it as a sword? Do you think it as sharper than a double-edged sword, piercing to the hardest of places within people, within their heart, piercing deep within them? See, the word of God reveals the truth of God. It reveals who God is. And that is the most damaging weapon that we can wage against a world that is pushing forth lies and deceit, that are following after the evil one, the sons of disobedience, proclaiming obedience, proclaiming truth in times of darkness. Many times you can have a friendly conversation with your neighbor, but the moment you start talking about truth is a moment in which they come at you. A moment in which even maybe friends that you have, a moment you start speaking truth, they start coming at you. Why? It's dealing a deadly blow. It's confronting them. It's striking them. The sword of God is one, though, that we do not wield like a butcher's knife, but we are precise with, we are wise with, we rightly handle the word of God, and we use it not for unjust gain, but for the proclamation and the glory of God in our lives. And lastly, we see this in our last point, in verses 18 through 20. Lastly, we are to stand firm amongst all these other things that we listed through prayer. Praying at all times with all prayer and petition in the Spirit. And to this end, being on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, as well as on my behalf, that words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, so that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Every one of us is going to need food today. After this, we have food in the next room if you want to join us, but all of us need food and drink today in order to survive, in order to get by, in order to function properly. If we go without food, our bodies will not be able to keep up. They will eventually give out. They will eventually weigh down, and you will eventually pass away if you do not. Nutrition is something that our bodies desperately need. Well, nutrition that the body of Christ desperately needs in order to function and to thrive, just like our bodies, is prayer. Prayer is absolutely essential to our walks with Jesus Christ. If you are not praying today, you need to realize that you are depriving yourself in your spiritual walk with Christ. That food that we need is found in prayer many times. Because prayer is the expression of your dependence upon God. Show me a man who prays much, and I will show you a man who has great faith. Show me a man who prays little, and I'll show you a man who doesn't hardly think about God. Prayer is talking with God. It's continually crying out to him. I'm not just talking about the times in which you're on your knees praying to him, but are you praying at all times? Are you always in a state of prayer, always ready to lift up your voice to God for help? Always ready to bring forth your supplications? As it says, praying at all times with all prayer and petition in the Spirit. Are you bringing forth your petitions? Are you bringing forth your requests to God? Lord, I need help now. God, man, could you just please intercede for us in this way? May you be glorified today. May you turn my heart to you. Are you praying to God at all times? We are not to be like the Gentiles who in Matthew 6, 7, "And when you are praying, do not use meaningless reputation as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words." We just don't go babbling. If there's some times in which I'm guilty of this, I'll maybe be half asleep and I'll try to be praying and then I'll just be babbling. And it's like, wait, this isn't prayer. I'm not actually talking to God. I'm just going on in words. Make your prayer time purposeful. Make it intentional. Pray with all prayer and petitions. Bring things to him and expect that he will answer. As it talks about in Colossians, be watchful in prayer. Watch for how he's going to answer it. And do it in the Spirit. We don't pray things that are counteracting God. We don't pray for things that are working against him. But we pray in the Spirit. We seek to walk by the Spirit. We seek to work with God in our lives and say, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We seek to be sanctified through this. And we seek to walk in prayer with the Spirit. We seek to do this in the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. It says, praying at all times with all prayer and petition of the Spirit, and to this end, being on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So we are being on alert with what? All perseverance. Be on alert. Israel got hit when they didn't expect it. You're going to get hit when you don't expect it if you're not on alert. You need to be ready. There was a couple weeks ago, I was at Chick-fil-A, and I was sitting down with another pastor, and next thing I know, I heard gunshots. And there was multiple gunshots, and in that moment, I did come equipped for the moment, for times like that. And I went to it. And I remember on the way back, I thought to myself, I'm never not going to be equipped for a moment like this. I will always be equipped. Because in that moment, luckily, as police officers gunning someone down, praise the Lord for those civil servants that he has given. Because in that moment, if they weren't there, damage would have been inflicted upon more people. We need to be alert as believers. And you need to know that that might be the only time in my life in which I encounter that. But you need to know as a believer, this is going to happen to you. You are going to be attacked. You need to be on the alert with all perseverance. You need to persevere each and every day, knowing that you're sojourning, you're an exile in this world. You need to be ready each day. It doesn't mean that we walk in fear. It doesn't mean that we become anxious about anything. We know Christ is in control, but we need to make sure that we arm ourselves with these things, with these qualities that we have talked about. And we need to also be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Another way to be on alert and another way to be engaged in prayer is to be praying for other people. I mean, think about Paul here as he goes on to say, as well, in verse 19, as well on my behalf, that the words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, so that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul was reminding them where he was at. And he's talking about pray for all the saints, petitions, give requests for all the saints, but also on my behalf, that I might speak boldly as I ought to, that words may be given in the opening of my mouth. And he was an ambassador. He was put in these chains because he was proclaiming the gospel, and he still continues to pray for boldness. And in their petitions and everything, I'm sure this helped bring them on alert, helping remind them of Paul, who is in chains, and this proclaiming the gospel. There's real warfare that is going on. And he is asking for continued boldness because he needs it, like we do, like we all do. And in our prayer for the saints, we need to continue to bring our petitions for them as this church was doing it for Paul. And may it be a reminder to us continually of who we are and where we are, that we are at war. Pray for other believers. Keep alert. It reminds us where we're at. Things are not settled. We are not at peace yet. And I hope that throughout your life that you are praying for this church, that you are praying for the believers here, that you are praying for the saints around the world, that you are reminding yourselves of the battle that is waging, that you're reminding your heart of, yes, food and drink is good, but I need spiritual food and drink, that yes, that things are going south in Israel, but guess what? There's millions of people that will die this year who do not know the gospel and will go to hell. We need to be proclaiming the gospel. So after observing in this text, we've seen four ways in which we are to stand firm. So first, by going to the Lord for his strength, you have nothing to give outside of Christ. He's the only good thing that you have, and only in him do you have a refuge. We need to identify correctly what is causing resistance against us. We need to identify our enemy. We need to know how he is scheming against us. We need to not be ignorant of his schemes, but we need to be aware of how he seeks to attack us. We need to put on the armor of God that we might stand firm against his attacks. And we are to be constantly engaged in prayer, being in a state of alertness and always being aware of what's around the corner. So today, as you go out into this week, may you put on the full armor of God. May you ask yourself, am I engaging in prayer each day? Am I putting on these things? Am I reminding myself of the truth of God's word, of Christ's righteousness that has bought me, of the salvation that's been purchased for me, of the faith that I need to continually to walk in, of the sword of the Spirit permeating throughout my life? Are you equipping yourself with these things today? And are you going out into this world and wreaking havoc for the kingdom of God, like the apostles, to when others said they are turning this world upside down? Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace that you've given us in Christ Jesus. And I pray that today, Lord, we may put on this armor. We may see that, Lord, behind this physical spectrum that we see, there is an invisible war that wages even in our own hearts each day. And I pray that we might not be ignorant of the evil one's schemes and that we might fight valiantly, Lord. Those who are found among the lake of fire are the cowardly, as we see in Revelation. May we not be cowards, But may we be people who boldly take up your word, who really take you at what you say here. Because what you say here is true. And because this is true, Lord, this is going to affect our lives. So help us to walk in it today. And please just help us to continue to look to you for all things. We glorify you, Jesus. Be with us in this last song. In Jesus' name, amen.